The other day, Xiaoji explained that in order to develop vivadakami kusala, which are high, when one develop these wholesomeness without respectfully, not continuously, and not continuously, stopping in between, it is called pamada. And today, Xiaoji will explain what are the vivada kami kusala from both theoretical and practical aspects. The bhavana kusala that develops both the mind and the knowledge is included in vivadagami kusala. Vivadagami kusala are bodhipakkhiya dhamma, which are the requisites of enlightenment. And these 37 requisites of enlightenment are the most important in this Buddha sasana. Bodhi means knowledge, pakkha means group or associate, iya means that exists. So bodhipakkhiya means associate factors of enlightenment, or the factors that are the cause to gain knowledge. So by developing bodhipakkhiya dhamma, by developing requisites of enlightenment, by developing associate factors of enlightenment, then one's deed will be ariya. It will be high and pure, and it is the work of purify person. And today Xiaoji will explain each of the groups consisted in bodhipakkhiya dhamma. Among the vivadagami kusala, there are 37 bodhipakkhiya dhamma, 37 requisites of enlightenment. Among them, there are 7 categories: satipatthana, the 4 foundations of mindfulness; sammapatthana, 4 kinds of supreme effort; ariyapada, the 4 means of accomplishment; and 5 kinds of indriya, controlling faculties; and 5 kinds of bala, 5 kinds of power; and 7 kinds of sambojanga, factors of enlightenment; and 8 kinds of maganga, 8 kinds of 8 noble path. So altogether, it makes 37 requisites of enlightenment, and they are categorized into 7 groups. Among these 7 categories, Xiaoji explained about satipatthana first of all. There are 4 kinds of satipatthana, and yogis should be developing the 4 foundations of mindfulness, practicing respectfully, meticulously, thoroughly, without stopping. So one should be mindful of these objects so as to develop bodhipakkhiya dhamma, the requisites of enlightenment. So one should be practicing in the postures, walking, standing, sitting, lying, bending, stretching, moving, whatever activity one performs, rising, falling, such of these bodily actions have to be noted when they arise, and it is kaya nupassana. One is developing kaya nupassana, contemplation on bodily actions. And one should be mindful of tiredness, heat, discomfort, unpleasant sensations, unpleasant feeling in the body, pains and aches. And one should know them all. And one is developing Vedana Nupassana, contemplation on feelings and sensations. And also, one should be noting thoughts, imaginations, planning, and it is Citta Nupassana, contemplation of the mind. And the general activity, such as seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, should be noted as a way of developing Dhamma Nupassana. Whatever object that arises in oneself, one should be noting respectfully, meticulously, thoroughly, without stopping. And one should be practicing in this way to develop Satipatthana practice. The whole body is the field of objects to be noted, and among them there are groups: kaya, vedana, citta, and dhamma. And among kaya also, there are various objects such as hardness, stiffness, roughness, subtleness, flowing, cohesion, congealing, heaviness, heat, warmth, cold, lightness, stiffness, tension, movement, and so on. And also, there are dependent materiality, which depend on the four great elements. Such are the eye sensitivity, the ear sensitivity, nose sensitivity, tongue sensitivity, bodily sensitivity, and there are other materiality such as the visible sight, the sound, the smell, the flavor, touch, and so on. So in the group of kaya are the four great elements and the dependent materiality. And Saraji will not explain all in detail. Within the group of kaya, there are objects that arises due to circumstances. So kaya is the field of objects to be noted, and within the field of objects to be noted, there are presently arising objects which arise due to circumstances. And there are four groups. And in the text, it mentions anapana, in-breath and out-breath. And also about iriyapata, postures. There are four main postures: walking, standing, lying, sitting, and lying. So it is said that when one is going, one should know as going. When one is standing, one should know as standing. When one is sitting, one should know it as sitting. And when lying, one should know as lying. And also, there are other minor postures such as turning, bending, stretching, blinking, opening and closing of the eyes. They are also included in Gaya, and they are to be noted as well. And it is Gaya Nupassana, Satipatthana, contemplation on bodily actions. So the objects that arises, they are two main groups, Rupa, materiality, and Nama, mentality. And they are arising as cause and effect, and Nama, Rupa, mentality, materiality, are the ones that really exist. When one practices Satipatthana meditation, among the two, Rupa and Nama, materiality and mentality, Rupa, materiality, is more obvious than the Nama, mentality. According to the law, Yathāpākataṁ Vipassanā Binivēso, when one starts to practice Vipassanā, one should practice on the object that is more obvious. Among the two, Rūpa and Nāma, Rūpa, materiality, is more obvious. That's why one should give priority to noting the Rūpa, materiality. So one has to start from the object that is easier to be noted. And among the Rūpa, the Kāya Nupassanā, it is the most obvious object. They are the four elements, Pṛthvī, Āpo, Tejo, and Vāyo, the earth element, water element, heat element, and wind element. And among them, one has to note on the element which is more obvious. Among the four great elements, the most obvious one is Vāyo Dhātu, wind element. So when one practices Satipatthana meditation, one should focus one's attention on the abdomen. One has to be mindful of the rising and falling of the abdomen. And by noting rising, falling, one can experience stiffness, tension, movement, and so on. Rising and falling of the abdomen is connected with in-breath and out-breath. Even though the name differs, but actually the nature, stiffness, tension, movement exist, and they are Gaya. Rising of the abdomen is Gaya. Falling of the abdomen is Gaya. And rising and falling of the abdomen is connected to breathing in and breathing out. And it is the object that really exists. Most of the people, they are used to practicing anapana, in-breath and out-breath. And for those, they have been practicing anapana for some time, and when their experiences are good, there are certain states that they do not advance, they do not go further. So for them, the late Venerable Mahasi Syaraji changed the object to rising, falling. So Mahasi Syaraji asked the yogis to switch to rising and falling of the abdomen. And by noting rising, falling, these yogis gain benefit. So Mahasi Syaraji continues to guide the yogis to practice by noting rising and falling of the abdomen. By noting rising and falling of the abdomen, yogi gains benefit in practice, and they develop Vipassana Jnana stage by stage. And for yogis who wish to practice anapana, yogis who wish to note in-breath and out-breath, Mahasi Saraji also give guidance in anapana, in-breath and out-breath, and also Iriyapata, how to be mindful in these postures. When practicing Satipatthana meditation, it is not easy to use the Abhidhamma terminology in noting the object. So when labeling, noting the object, one should use Suttanta way, one should use everyday language. So when one breathes in and breathes out, when there is rising and falling, there are stiffness, tension, movement. Stiffness, tension, movement are involved in Abhidhamma vocabulary. But one should not be noting as such in the beginning of the practice. One should use the Suttanta way, noting it as rising and falling. And one should not be noting it as stiffness or tension or movement, but just note it as rising, falling. Usually, the mind falls on the concept, Santana Panyati, form or shape concept, and Tatcha Panyati, the name concept. So at first, one's mind go onto these form, shape, concept, name, concept. But later on, when one's knowledge, when one gains knowledge, these concepts drop away automatically and the mind falls on the true nature. So at first, when the yogi is noting, one should label and name it when noting using Tatcha Panyati, the name concept, by labeling as rising, falling, and so on. Because the mind is so used to falling on the concept, Santana Panyati, form or shape concept, and Tatcha Panyati, name concept. So in the beginning of the practice, it is not possible for the yogi to do so without using the concept of rising, falling, because the mind is so used to falling onto concept. So in the beginning, one should be noting with labeling rising, falling. One cannot just be mindful of the true nature at the beginning of the practice. At the stage of Bhangajnana, knowledge of dissolution, the true nature itself will be obvious to the yogi. So at first, yogis should be noting by using the name concept, rising, falling, lifting, moving, and placing. And Saraji gives an example. The taste of the candy, the sweetness of the candy cannot be experienced from the outside. And the form or shape cannot be experienced if one does not eat it. So by eating the candy, putting it on the tongue, together with the saliva, one swallows, one tastes the candy, and one can experience the sweet taste. In the same way, in the beginning of the practice, at first, one's mind falls onto form or shape or the manner. So at the beginning, one should be noting, and one will be knowing it mixed with form or shape and manner. When sati and samadhi, mindfulness and concentration, become strong, one comes to know the true nature itself. So just like when one wants to know the flavor of the candy, one should eat it, one should put the whole candy and taste it. In the same way, one should be noting as rising and falling, and at first the mind falls on form and shape, which is panyati concept, and the manner of moving, which is also concept. Only when one sati and samadhi, mindfulness and concentration, become strong, then the noting mind falls on the true nature, such as stiffness, tension, movement, and so on. So when one eats the candy, later on, one knows the taste, the flavor. One's mind falls on the flavor instead of the form or shape of the candy. So in the same way, when one sati and samadhi, mindfulness and concentration, become strong, one's mind no longer fall onto form or shape or manner, but onto the true nature, such as stiffness, tension, movement, warmth, cold, heat, and so on. It is said that Kayanupassi Viharati, one should be mindful, one should contemplate repeatedly on Rupa Kaya. So one should note on the object that is arising at the present moment. One should be noting rising, falling, sitting, touching, lifting, moving, placing, blinking, even the opening and closing of the eyes should be noted. When noting rising of the abdomen, one should note it with labeling rising. And when noting falling also, one should note repeatedly on falling, naming, labeling as falling. And one should note the object repeatedly. And one should put atapa, ardent effort in the practice. Asserting ardent effort in the practice, the person is called atapi. One should not be sluggish. One should not note in a slack way, but one should exert ardent effort in noting the practice, in noting. And there should be anupassana. One should contemplate again and again, repeatedly, on the object. And sati, mindfulness, will develop. But this sati, mindfulness, it should not be ordinary. But sati should be energized. It should be continuous. It should be many. It should be increased. So that sati, mindfulness, will be firm and steady. And also, one should assert viriya, effort in the practice. If one can exert effort, viriya, 10 moments, there will be 10 moments of mindfulness. In 1 minute, if yogi can assert 60 moments of effort, then there will be 60 moments of mindfulness. So one should not just have sati, only a less amount of sati, but it should be many, it should be increased. So Saraji gives an example. If a person owns property, ordinary property, then he, she cannot be called a rich person. Only a person who has a lot of property will be called rich. In the same way, in order to be the possessor of sati, one cannot be called the possessor of sati if he, she only has a very little bit of sati. But it takes a lot, many times of sati, energized sati. And also, one should have samadhi, concentration. When there is sustained mindfulness, the mind will be calm and collected on the object. Samadhi, concentration will be developed. The mind will not be agitated by raga, dosa, moha, lust, anger, and delusion. The mind will be calm and collected, and it is called samatha. And there will be sambhajanya, clear comprehension, clear knowledge, when one comes to see the nature. So one should have sustained mindfulness, the mind should be calm and collected, and one gains knowledge as a result. So gaining knowledge, one comes to see the true nature, such as stiffness, tension, movement, and so on. In order to be a new Bhassi, in order to be a person who continuously, repeatedly observes the object, it takes virya, effort, sati, mindfulness. The mind should be calm and collected. There should be samadhi, concentration, and one gains knowledge, panya, by practicing. Sambhajana is the person who knows, and sambhajanya is knowing. Here, the other names, jnana and panya, are not used, but the word sambhajana is used, as Buddha was very skillful in usage. It is not ordinary knowing. In the word sambhajanya, san can mean correctly. It is not from imagination. It is not what learned from teacher or books. But as one practices according to the guidance, one comes to know stiffness, tension, movement, and one knows correctly, not learned from books or teacher. Another way, sanjanya can be, sanjanya is knowing by oneself. And one does not know partially, but one knows completely. So in other way, sanjanya can mean knowing completely. In this way, sanjanya can mean knowing correctly, knowing by oneself, knowing completely. And when knowing, one does not know in a mixed way, but when rising is noted, one sees the rising itself, the object to be noted, and the noting mind. When noting falling, one sees it very clearly, the object to be noted, and the noting mind. And when noting rising, falling, one sees the true nature, such as movement, stiffness, tension, and one sees it in a clear-cut way. One sees it distinctly. So in this way, by being mindful, one knows the object to be noted and the noting mind, and one knows the nature, such as stiffness, tension, movement. So in this way, one knows distinctly between the noting mind and the object that has been noted. And the knowledge is not sutamaya jnana. It is not theoretical knowledge gained through book. And it is not cintamaya jnana, knowledge that can be gained through reflection or reasoning. And it is not from hearsay, But one comes to know distinctly, clearly, from one's experience of practice. So the person knows distinctly, clearly. One also understands cause and effect. And one sees that the rising and falling arises, passes away. The old object passes away, the new object arises. And also when rising, there is not just one big rising, but rising consists of many layers and segments of rising. And in the falling as well, it's not just one falling, but one sees layers and layers, segment by segment, of falling. When one takes a look very closely, one sees things very clearly. So just like in the example, when one looks at a row of termites from a distance, one may think it as a rope or a branch of a tree. But when one takes a very close look, one sees each and individual termites moving. In the same way, when one notes the object, and if the noting mind is not close to the object, then what he, she sees will not be clear. So one's noting mind should be very close to the object so that one sees very clearly. So when noting the object, the noting mind should be very close to the object. And when one sees very clearly, distinctly, there will be sampajanya. So sampajanya means knowing by oneself correctly, distinctly, completely, in an outstanding way. So in order to gain sampajanya, one should practice respectfully. One should practice according to the teaching of the Buddha. And by practicing diligently, according to the guidance given, one gains knowledge. When one gains knowledge, there will not be knowing wrongly or not knowing. If one does not know, then there can be wrong view. Not knowing, there can also be attachment, craving onto things. Knowing correctly, one will no longer crave onto things. So one does not crave based on the object the person is able to note, and on other objects as well, one does not crave. And also when one come across undesirable objects, there cannot be anger or aversion or hatred. And by practicing respectfully, it is said, Vinaya Loge Abeja Domanasa, meaning that one overcomes covetousness and distress and so on. So based on the object that the yogi is able to note, Lobha Dosa, greed, hatred, has no chance to arise. So the defilements are removed momentarily. And when the defilements are distanced, then there will be vikambana, distancing the defilements. So one should remove the objects momentarily so that later on the defilements become more and more distant. And it is called patipaka vikambana. Kaya kayanupasi viharati, meaning that one should be mindful of the bodily actions, such as rising and falling of the abdomen, and so on. And one should observe repeatedly on the bodily action that manifests at the present moment. In order to do so, one should assert effort in the practice, and one should practice according to the guidance given. So that there will be sati, mindfulness. The mind will be calm and collected on the object, and one should be noting continuously on the bodily actions. There will be kaya nupassana, contemplation of the bodily action, and it is kaya nupassana satipatthana. So it is easy and simple, and in order to practice kaya nupassana, it may be difficult, but it is simple. So when one is noting on the presently arising object, not only sati, not only mindfulness is present, but the supreme effort is also present. When one is practicing, at times chanda becomes predominant. At times, one is noting, being mindful, having viriya effort as predominant factor. Predominant. At times, the mind is predominant, and at times, the knowledge is predominant. And one develops the mental factors such as sadha, viriya, sati, samadhi, and panya. Faith and confidence, effort, mindfulness, concentration, and wisdom. These are the controlling faculties, and they are also mental power. So controlling faculty, mental power are different in word, but they are the same. Mental factors, sadha, viriya, sati, samadhi, and panya, faith and confidence, effort, mindfulness, concentration, and wisdom. When there is sustained mindfulness, then there will also be sati sambojanga, the mindfulness as the factor of enlightenment. And there can be dhamma vijaya sambojanga, when knowledge is developed. At the stage of udiyabhayajnana, the effort becomes strong, and one also experiences piti and pasati, joy, tranquility, and other sobhana cetasika, other beautiful mental factors arise. When there is piti, one feels very joyous, peaceful, and when one analyzes the mind, there are mental beautiful factors involved. By noting the object, by knowing distinctly, clearly, there is sila, samadhi, panya, morality, concentration, and wisdom involved. So the late Venerable Mahasi Syaraji set up a motto saying that by practicing satipatthana meditation, all the other factors of enlightenment are developed. So by practicing satipatthana, not only sati, mindfulness, develops, but other requisites of enlightenment, such as sambhavadana, supreme effort, and so on, they are also developed. At the stage of udiyabhayajnana, the requisites of enlightenment are developed strongly. So Saraji says, give an example. When you pluck a fruit, when you pluck from one place, the whole bunch of fruits will be plucked. So in the same way, by practicing satipatthana meditation, one develops all the other bodhipakkhiya dhamma, all the other requisites of enlightenment. So in order to do so, one should do one's duty in noting the object without missing, without failing, according to the guidance given, so that by practicing Satipatthana diligently, without missing, without failing, according to the guidance, one will also be developing other bodhipakkhiya dhamma, other factors, other requisites of enlightenment. This will be all for today. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.